My sponsor for today's episode is a very easy one for me to rep because I am the owner and the original founder of the first clinic, Armadillo Sport Chiropractic. My wife and I are the original owners and the guys responsible for the protocols, the techniques, and philosophies that we use in this clinic. It's not about popping. It's not your granddaddy's chiropractor. Armadillo Sport Chiropractic is about properly breaking down the sports complex and treating you like a sports medicine physician, from everything like pulled hammies to sprained ankles to performance enhancers like electrolytes and activation techniques, the new stuff that you'll see on Sports Doc DC all the time. Where do these things come from? They came from my clinical applications that I see all the day. So if you want what the pros are doing, well, you need to know it's a lot more than pops and cracks. Armadillo Sport Chiropractic is built for athletic people and anyone looking to improve and change. If you'll put in some work, I can almost guarantee you results. So if you're in South Texas and you're looking for a great sports chiropractic clinic, look no farther than Armadillo Sport Chiropractic. Hey Doc, I think I slipped a disc. You know what? The plastic skeletons from the old days, you know, the ones chiropractors used to show you that you had going on in your back, they can slip a disc. You can't really slip a disc. I'm sick of the term. It's outdated. It's played out. This is a huge part of what I even made Sports Doc DC for in the first place, to get better information. At my clinic, I hear someone slipped a disc probably twice a day. It's time to get better educated. So pay attention if you want to know what's happening when you've got low back pain. Yeah, guys, it's really time we get past the outdated term slip disc when we explain back pain. Now look, I get it. I know what's implied here. I mean, it was kind of my era that came up with it all. It was the term used a few decades ago. If my articles are anything, they are explanatory and updated. So let's exchange the old outdated term for a newer concept that relays better information and less confusion. Because every day in my clinic, I see people doing stuff wrong. And it's one of those that just has to go on the byway. To me, it's right up there with like the piriformis syndrome. You're not a plastic skeleton. Things move differently in real life. So here's the history of slip disc. The term was used for back pain originating from the discs. It's pretty easy to diagnose with good practice and procedures. It's not that tough. I teach this. The term came into use as chiropractors, PTs, doctors, and surgeons explain the idea to a patient by utilizing a plastic skeleton as a visual aid. Some of you may have even done this yourself. The plastic skeleton has small metal wires holding the pieces, the vertebrae, the nerves, the disc, and blood vessels together. And most of these being sold to doctors had a loose segment, whereas a practitioner, we could show how if a disc slipped, it put pressure on the nerves and caused pain. It was a great tool. The skeleton covered a lot of information easily and concisely, and you, the patient, could nod your head at understanding. Ah, I have a slip disc. But here's the problem with that analogy. Number one is it's plastic and we aren't. Our bodies don't move quite like that skeleton, and discs are pretty much attached to the bony vertebrae pieces above and below them. They don't technically slip. Number two is, come on, it's the future and the internet lets us look up better information. Like this. Number three, when you use the term slip disc, it dates you and me. When I hear slip disc, my first thought is you've been through a sales pitch for chiropractic, an old one, with outdated terms and outdated techniques. So let's get a solution. Let's get modern. We need an updated term and a modern explanation that still quickly conveys and teaches information, but with a better, more complete understanding. Again, the internet is really good for this. People want to look this stuff up and they should be able to find correct information. Better information explained easily. That's the whole idea of this site. This is the exact handout I give my clients. Clinically, we call it a disc strain, but sometimes just calling it a hot low back makes it not so scary. I had experience in the NFL early in my term, and it was very important that we didn't tell these guys that were going back out there as a career, hey, you've got a disc injury, because it scared them. And I really think the disc strain, where you can kind of look at like a sprained, strained ankle, or a hot low back, is just a better term with better information. So let's get to it. The discs are the shock absorbers, and more importantly, the spaces in our spinal column. They space out the vertebrae so the nerves can run to and from the spinal cord to ensure that our brain knows what's happening all over our bodies. These nerves are responsible for our movement, our cell reproduction, our touch, our temperature sensations, and as many of you know that have experienced, our pain sensation. Injuries at the disc, depending on what types of provider you see, may be called a slip disc, annular fiber tears, herniation, bulging discs, or degenerative disc disease. I don't really like any of these terms. They've been overdone, they're scary, and the visualization connecting these terms tends to be overanalyzed and over-negative. They tend to imply thoughts of a permanent condition. I mean, really, degenerative disc disease? Oh, you guys know what I think about putting the term disease after something that's clinical. Really? I'll often say these disc strains are the sprained ankle of the lower back. You will recover. What happens when a disc is strained is that some of the tough outer coverings called the annular fibers are torn and sometimes may even strain through a little bit. And that's where we got this idea of like the jelly-like material in the middle pushing out and bulging out. Unfortunately, as far as pain goes, these feel terrible and you'll almost always experience severe muscle spasms because the body's trying to protect itself. So get this, those muscle spasms that you're feeling, that's not the problem. That's the protection mechanism. So when you're using heat and you're stretching it and you're massaging it and you're trying to work it out with your friend's elbow, it's not going to work. In fact, it may be making it go the wrong direction. Let's look at this a little bit new, because the majority of these issues that I'll see in my clinic aren't this variety. Most are what's called a grade 1 or 2, or what we would call a disc torsion. The symptoms are as follows. There's some pain, and sometimes it can be a lot of pain, and really the amount of pain you feel has no bearing on which issue you have. I've seen people with severe pain have next to nothing on an MRI. And I've had people that have had huge bulging discs that are virtually out of pain. The pain is a bad way to figure out how severe it is. It takes better doctoring. And I really have an issue with this. When doctors say, where does it hurt and how bad does it hurt? That is not an exam. I don't know where that happened in the last 20 years, but that is a terrible exam. That's a couple check boxes for the insurance company. That really doesn't tell you a lot. So the pain, you just have to get through it. The other symptoms, the one that makes more sense to me and tells me more about what's going on, is it tough to get out of bed or change positions like getting out of your car after doing your commute? When you cough and sneeze, it may hurt. You could have a moderate to severe spasm, like a locking up of the muscles on both sides or just on one side of the lower spine. You might have muscle weakness, usually very slight though, and on one side, or you may notice a different sensation on one side and the other, and forward bending may be natural for you. In fact, when you get out of bed and you have kind of that old guy walk for a few steps, that's one of my diagnostic tools. The vast majority of these types of injuries are very treatable and you will recover. You see, with these injuries, it's not the bulging as much as it's the inflammation around the injury that causes the pain. That's why anti-inflammatory medication seems to help. Like the question I ask my patients, does ibuprofen or naproxen or Voltaren, does that take the edge off? For a large number of people, it does, and that's why ice, not heat, is going to work much better. It's also going to speed up the healing process. Let me repeat, I'm huge on this. You have to ice these things, not heat them. The muscle spasm is protection in nature. It's not the problem. These are inflammatory conditions, and initially stretch, massage, and heat will bring more inflammation to the area. It's basically just more blood, but your brain perceives it as more inflammation. I mean, have you tried the hot shower? Yeah, man, that heat feels so good right away. But 10 minutes later, you can't even put on your socks. So watch out. In my clinic, this is probably the most mistreated condition we see. You'll have a lot of muscle spasm because of it. The therapists are so big, and your friends and your family and Google recommends heat, stretch, and massage. Now, different body parts respond to a threat differently. This is one of the biggest changes in healthcare. Ankles swell, the pecs pull tight in shoulder injuries, and in the low back and ribs, the muscle spasm to protect. Again, the spasm isn't the issue, it's the reaction. Treat the actual issue, not the reaction. Muscles relax when the inflammation goes away. How long does that take? Typically about a week to 10 days. And I personally would recommend no heat until you've at least had 3 good days. So ice it, man. Something else important to know about these conditions is that they rarely respond by feeling step by step better each day. Recall when you had a sprained ankle in the past. Every day seems to get a little bit better, like a stair-step progression. Well, disc injuries don't typically respond like this. They have these giant waves of up and down. Think of like a sine wave. Typically, it goes in 10 to 12 hours. At times, you may feel almost completely healed. Man, I feel great. I can't believe how good I was for the last 10 hours. And then, pow, you get hit hard and feel terrible again. The pain and spasm with these issues can be severe. But feel comfortable, this is typically a very small and easy issue, and it will go away. Again, the reminder, just the pain's not a good indicator of the severity. Treat these issues as inflammatory number one. Usually an MRI is needed only if the issues become much worse or if you're not responding in a matter of weeks. If you're a clinician or a PT or some sort of practitioner and you're listening to this, the main way I look at this and how I feel comfortable proceeding, again, is not based on pain. Can they do a heel-toe walk? Are their reflexes good bilaterally? Is their muscle strength 5 out of 5 bilaterally? And is their sensation the same on both sides? Because that tells you you're not getting deep nerve entrapment. If any of those things fail, it's almost always an immediate MRI, but it's not based on pain. Guys, I hope this hope explained it, and I hope it gets you much more modern version. I am ready to just kill the term slip disc and get on with a better one. Try a hot low back or distorsion or a strained back. I think it just makes you progress a lot faster.